Hello, and welcome to the Life Church of Athens weekly sermon podcast. Join us as we dive into God's Word and grow together as we strive to love God, love people, and make disciples.
Well, I am thankful to be here in the house of God with the people of God. Such a tremendous blessing. And for the next several weeks, the Lord has given me something for the house, and for the next 5 weeks, we're going to jump into a series titled When God Calls. When God Calls. And so this morning, we're going to dive into when God calls and you don't recognize the voice. Let me pray. Father, I just pray, God, your presence, your spirit just be so evident here. As I know it is this morning, Lord God, give us the strength and the power that we need, Father. I just pray that your word, God, be made clear this morning, Lord Jesus, that we would just rest in who you are, God. The times are unshakable, Father. The times are shakable. The times are questionable, Lord. The world that we live in is chaotic. There's so many things that are going on that are unstable. But you and your word are unshakable, are ever stable, are unwavering. It is unchanging, and we bank our lives on that. So God, this morning, may you illuminate the text, God. May you allow us to hear your voice so clearly this morning. For Father, we need you. That is our declaration this morning, God, that we need you. We need your presence, God. We need the Holy Spirit, Lord. We need to hear your voice clearly. So I pray that you would speak. Father, we love you. Thank you for first loving us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. So this here, for those of you that are 18 and younger, this is called a telephone. I don't know if y'all are familiar with this. What you have in your pocket is a cell phone, but this is a telephone. There's actually a guy named Antonio Meucci. He actually came up with this in the mid-1800s, and Alexander Graham Bell, about 50 years later, he actually got the U.S. patent on this. But what I want to go back and tell these guys is, I don't think you realize what you've done to me, because now, as a result of this and the development of technology over time, I get 47 robocalls a day of people trying to sell me stuff that I don't want and I don't need. They're calls that you get, and for us in this sanctified, sophisticated day and age, we get to look at our phones. And there's something on there called the caller ID. And you get to determine whether you hit the answer button or not. Now, a lot of you, you get calls from certain people, and you know what to do with those calls. Deny. Right? It could be a call from an auntie or a call from grandma, and you just really don't feel like hearing it. So you just kind of shut that thing off and you don't answer it. But there's sometimes when you get a call and you're like, this is suspicious. And you answer the call, but you don't recognize the voice. I think for us, as those of us who are in Christ this morning, that we would absolutely say that hearing from God, hearing God's voice, is something we want to experience. I think it's something that many of us said, yes, I want to hear God's voice. I want to hear God speak to me. So the question is, well, how do we hear from God, and how does God speak? That's a good question to ask. How do we hear from God? And how does God speak? Some of us, in trying to attempt to hear God's voice, we tried the what I call the open the Bible in point method, right? You're looking to hear from God, and you go, all right, Lord, I need your word for me today. So we close our eyes and we point. Galatians 5:12, would that those who are upsetting you might also castrate themselves. That's the word for today. All right, let's go with that then. The open and point method. Let's just find something. God, please speak to me. Give me something. And we open and we point and go, okay, hopefully this is God speaking somehow to me today. Other times we think if we can go and we can sit long enough and we can meditate long enough that somehow we'll have this Mount Sinai moment to where God will give us what it is we need to hear. I can remember being a younger guy, and in my truck, I would go. We grew up in the country on a farm, and I get in my truck and I go to the field at night, and I sit on the back of my truck and I go, all right, Lord, speak to me. And I'd sit, and I'd wait. I'd sit and wait, and maybe 5, 10, 15 minutes later, I'm thinking, I really got to go to the bathroom right now. But I want to hear from you, God. I want you to speak to me. So, like, give me this revelation. Give me this word. And then sometimes in moments like that, it would not come. So how in the world do I hear from God? How do I know when he is speaking? There's many times in the Bible when God will audibly, specifically give instruction to men. And there are many of you here who would even say, yes, I've heard the audible voice of God. But let me preference this message. Let me preference this series here when it comes to hearing God's voice. Let me preface it with this here. See, Peter, when he was there on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was with Jesus. And Peter said this. He said, I was there. He said, I saw him transfigured. I saw the heavens open up. I heard a voice from on high come down and say, this is my son, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. But if you will remember how he ended that small passage in his epistle, this is how he ended it. He said, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. He was there. He heard the voice of God, but for us, for the body of Christ in total, he says, listen, we even have a sure word of prophecy, and there is something that God has already conveyed, i.e. through his word, through the Bible, that we can use as our measuring stick against every other form or voice that we would say, this is God, and we want it to be clear. And that's the same thing we should do when it comes to other people telling us that they've heard from God or they have a word for us. That's great. But you have to measure those words against the word. The word is the measuring stick for all other voices. Weigh it with the word of God that is conveyed clearly to all of us. So this morning we're going to look at God's call to Samuel. That's where we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 3 is where we're going to land. We're going to work through this text here. Now, with Samuel, he's in this first lineup of prophets that God has spoken to and assigned for the nation of Israel. Now, with Samuel's calling, God, he's instituted this prophetic office, this marriage between the kings and the prophet. The prophets are to walk alongside the kings of Israel to speak on behalf of God to the people. So the king would have the prophet next to him, and the king would go, okay, what's God saying to us today? And this was the role of Samuel. But let's look back at how it all started for Samuel's call. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. Now, when the Bible says that he ministered to the Lord, that word can be translated into the Hebrew word amad, which basically means that he stood, he abided, he continued, he remained in the presence of the Lord. He was there. Because if you actually know anything about this with Samuel, if you back up a chapter, you got the priest Eli and his sons who are defiling the temple. Eli's sons were considered in Scripture to be worthless. Worthless. They would actually eat the sacrifice in an unholy way. They would get drunk. They would actually sleep with women in the temple. Women who would show up to serve, they would end up sleeping with them. These were the sons of the priest. The Bible says they were worthless men. But then the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 2:18, it says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord. In other words, even though those jokers were crazy and were cutting up and doing all these sinful things, the Bible says that Samuel, he remained, that he stayed, that he was faithful to his calling and to his position. Let me tell you this, one really good way to make sure you hear the voice of God is to remain faithful to be where he assigned you to be. To remain faithful to be where he assigned you to be. It doesn't matter what other people are doing. It doesn't matter what other people are saying. If God has assigned you to a certain position or place, you abide therein until he tells you to move. You'll find that with obedience, you will find that it's easier to hear the voice of God because you are where he's called you to be. And so Samuel remained there in the presence of God. He stayed there. He was assigned there. Again, verse 1, part B, it says, "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision." I'd encourage you to write this down, that hearing from God is a privilege. Don't take it for granted. Hearing from God is a privilege. Don't take it for granted. It was about 2 weeks ago that the Holy Spirit just got all over me and convicted me about something. I was in a devotion with a few FCA guys about 2 weeks ago. And I'm sitting there, and anytime I get to sit or be a part of a devotion, I'm like, all right, let's what do you got for me? Let's dig into it. And he goes, "Open your Bibles to John 15. And I'm like, "Really, John 15? The vine? I know this already. I've preached this. I've taught this. I've studied this. I'm the vine, you are the branch. I know John 15. Man, let's go to Obadiah. Take me over into Lamentations. Like, let's get into something deep, right? And he says, "Go to John 15. I'm like, "All right, John 15. And it's all marked up in the Bible, and I've studied it and taught it and preached it. But as we begin to dig in John 15, God began to show me some stuff, began to reveal himself to me in things that I've read 100 times. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit convicted me so bad and said, "Listen, don't you make common, don't you take for granted my living scriptures. Don't you take for granted what I put in front of you. Even if it's John 3:16 and you've heard it 1,000 times, don't just scoff at John 3:16. Don't just look at it and put it into commonplace. No, we don't take God's word for granted. Even if we hear something that we think we've heard before, say, "God, give me fresh ears and fresh eyes and a fresh heart to approach your scripture. I don't want to take this for granted." There are people across the world who do not have access to scripture, who don't have this, who can't read this. We don't take God's voice conveyed through the scriptures for granted. It is an absolute privilege, and we have to see it in that light. There's another translation for verse 1. It's really interesting. It says, "In those days, a message from the Lord was a rare treasure." It was a rare treasure. Now, me knowing the book of Judges being the background to 1 Samuel, I don't think it's out of place to say that it's not that the Lord wasn't wanting to speak. Because we just read that the voice of the Lord was a rare treasure. It was rare in those days. But I don't think that it was the Lord saying, "Well, I'm just going to shut my lips. I'm just tired of talking. I don't want to speak." I don't think that's the case with me knowing the backdrop of Judges. I think it's that the people weren't wanting to listen. I think that's the bigger issue at play here. It's not that God didn't want to speak. It's the people did not want to listen. Because in Judges chapter 21, verse 25, the Bible says this: "In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes." That is the backdrop of 1 Samuel, that everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Because it's not that God left them with no instruction. It's not that God left them with no directions. Because up to this point, we've had men who have heard from God, right? Who have conveyed what God has to say to the people. We know we've heard from Abraham conveying the word of God. We've heard from Moses. We've heard from Caleb. We've heard from Joshua. We've heard these men conveying the voice of God to the people. But here's the problem. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That's the problem. So in other words, they weren't obeying what God had already said. God had already instructed them, and they chose not to obey the instructions that God had already given. I think some of us, we might be stuck because we're going, "God, I want to hear your voice on this issue." And he's going, "Well, what have I already told you to do? What are the things that I've already instructed you on in the past that you are still yet to do? And you're wanting new and special revelation on this thing, and I've already spoken on this thing. You just haven't done it yet." What are those things? It's kind of like me with my kids, and Spencer's here. It's kind of like when Spencer comes up to me and he goes, "Dad, I want one of those double stuffed Oreos in the pantry." And he says that too. "I want one of them double stuffed Oreos in the pantry." And I go, "All right, well, Spencer, did you eat your food?" He goes, "No." but I want a double stuffed Oreo in the pantry. And I say, all right. Well, the double stuffed Oreo in the pantry is not an option for you, son, until you eat your green beans, right? This is what you have to do beforehand. You don't get to do this until you've done that. Then I walk out of the room. And there's no dad in the kitchen, so Spencer does what is right in his own eyes. And he decides to get the chair and push it up to the pantry and get a double stuffed Oreo. Well, then dad has to come back and enact some church discipline with Spencer. But Spencer doesn't get to move forward with the cookie until he's done what I've asked him to do already. Very simplistic illustration, but true nonetheless. That's true for us. What has God already instructed us to do? And those are the things that we must do. In verse 2, 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says, at that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, he was lying down in his own place. So he's there in his bed in his quarters. The Bible says in verse 3 that the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Now, the scriptures make reference to this lamp of God that had not yet gone out. Now, this lamp of God was to be in the tabernacle. It would have been a lamp that had seven candles in it or seven lamps that burned from it. And God's command was that this lamp should continually burn. This lamp was to never, ever go out. It was to be in the temple, and it could not go out day or night. And it was the priest's job to make sure that this lamp stayed full of oil and remained burning. That commandment actually comes from Exodus 27. And it says, tell the people of Israel to bring pure olive oil for the lampstand so it can be burning continually. The lampstand will be placed outside the inner curtain of the most holy place in the tabernacle. Aaron and his sons will keep the lights burning for the Lord's presence day and night. This is a permanent law for the people of Israel, and it must be kept by all future generations. Well, apparently, somebody forgot to fill the oil up in the lamp because it's about to go out. It's getting dim, and this really points to the backslidden state here of the priesthood in the tabernacle at this time. This is also a picture of the nation of Israel as a whole. This light was beginning to dim. It was beginning to flicker. And it's interesting that it also talks about Eli's eyesight beginning to be dimmed. So during the dark days of American history, in the time of Benjamin Franklin, he actually received this letter. And it was a very pessimistic letter from the statesman, and he was talking about the deploring condition of the United States of America. He was writing about that to Ben Franklin. This man wrote in his letter, he said this. At the end of his letter, he wrote, the sun of liberty has set. The sun of liberty has set. Ben Franklin, he wasn't afraid of challenge. He wrote back this at the end of his letter. He said, then light the candles. Light the candles. How do we ensure that darkness doesn't overtake our families? How do we ensure that darkness doesn't overtake your marriage, that darkness doesn't overtake your church, that darkness doesn't overtake this world? How do you do that? You light the candles. You keep the light of God's word illuminated, then darkness is of no threat to you. The word of God is the illuminant. This is what we have to keep lit in the voice of God as he conveys it through his word. This is how we ensure that darkness does not overtake us in our lives and our families or the things that we affect. It's when we allow the word of God to be illuminated. In verse 4, the Bible says, then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here I am. So God is calling Samuel, and Samuel says, here I am. But here's the thing. He ran to Eli, and he said, here I am, for you called me. So the Lord is calling Samuel, but Samuel doesn't realize that it's the Lord. So he runs into Eli's quarters and says, hey, man, did you just call me? Here's what Eli says. I didn't call you. Go lay down.
So Samuel, he went and lay down. Now, that's pretty weird. I thought I heard him calling me. I'll just go back to sleep.
So you got this 15 to 17-year-old kid that's hearing these voices. He thinks it's Eli. He goes in, and Eli says, "Oh, it wasn't me." So Samuel goes, "Okay, it must have been something I ate for dinner. I don't know. So let me go back to sleep." Verse 6, and the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose, and he went to Eli again and said, "Here I am, for you called me," a second time. But Eli said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Verse 7 says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." Now, in verse 7, I think this is an appositional statement. And what that means is that the second defines the first. So if you read it in this way, the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Therefore, he did not yet know the Lord's voice. It's not that he wasn't a believer. It's not that he wasn't following God. It's just that he didn't recognize voice because he'd never heard it before. So in verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time, three times. And he arose and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." All right, I'm not just hearing stuff anymore. I'm not just tripping. It's not just what I ate for dinner, but I can clearly hear you calling me. You called me, Eli. What is it? Here's a question for us. What do you do when God is calling you and you don't recognize the voice? What do you do when you find yourself in positions and situations of life and they have pushed you into the unfamiliar? And you might credit it to chance or to happenstance, but it's really God at work in your life and you don't even know it. I think all of us who've been walking with Jesus for some period of time and have gone through things in life, I think all of us can stand at this place and probably look back over our lives and say, "I didn't realize it then, but God was trying to get my attention, but I didn't realize it was him. There was stuff that I was going through back in my life and situations, and I didn't even realize it was God's voice trying to speak to me, trying to move me, trying to push me, but now I can see that it was him, that it was him speaking, but I didn't see it then, I didn't recognize it. Then it even took Eli the priest, it took him a minute to figure out what was happening because he himself was struggling to recognize God's voice. Remember, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. So Eli himself didn't fully recognize and realize it until a third time. And he goes, "Well, maybe this is the voice of God." So here's the instruction, therefore. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went, and he lay down in his place. In verse 10, and the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel says, "Speak, for your servant hears." That's great instruction. "Speak, for your servant hears." Now, this word "hears" in Hebrew is the word shema, and that word means I am actively listening in order to obey. That's literally what Samuel said when he said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." He said, "I'm listening with the full intent to obey what I hear you tell me to do." That is my full intent, is to obey. The word shema here. Tell me what you want, and I'll do it. I think it's interesting here that God calls him three times. Calls him three times, but he doesn't reveal his will for Samuel until Samuel responds with this phrase. And the phrase is, "Abed Shema." "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And I'm not just listening to listen, but I'm listening with the intent to obey. And then God reveals his will for Samuel. See, hearing God requires willingness. Here's my struggle with my own self. Is I want God to tell me what his
will is first, then I'll decide if I want to obey it or not. That's just me. I don't know about you, but that's just me. God, tell me exactly what it is you want me to do first and how this is going to work out, and then I'll determine if I want to go down that road or not. Because I'm listening, but it's not Abed Shema. It's not I'm listening as your servant with the intent to obey. It's I'm listening with the intent to see if I like it or not. Let me see if I want to follow this thing out or not. Because I don't need you calling me to some difficult place where I might get pushed outside of my comfort zone. Please don't call me to some difficult place where I might lose some privileges that I have. If you want to call me to the ministry in Hawaii or Bora Bora, hey, where you go, I'll go, right? I will follow. I'm singing that song then. But please don't call me somewhere that's going to push me to have to sacrifice something. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Let our hearts say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening with the intent to obey. I don't even know what you're about to ask me to do, but my yes is on the table. The intent for me is to obey, and I don't even know what you're going to tell me to do. Tell me to do something absolutely ridiculous. You might tell me to do something that everybody else says, yeah, that's not really going to work. That's not really the process of how this happens. But when you commit yourself to Christ, you also submit your obedience to him. To hear the voice of God requires this willingness. Now, in Psalms 19, God, he outlines two basic ways that he speaks. Two basic ways that he speaks. He speaks generally through creation, and he also speaks specifically through his word. Generally through creation and specifically through his word. In Psalms 19, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge without speech or language, without a sound to be heard. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. David here, he's saying that God's creation is speaking to us, and it speaks to us. It's giving us a message. So when we look at the planets, when we look at the sun, when we look at the moon, when we look at the stars, it's telling us a message. And what is the message that those things declare? It's that the heavens declare the glory of God. So one can look at the skies and go, wow, the skies are that beautiful. How glorious must the artist be who created it? Creation itself declares the glory of God. I don't know if you were around Friday night and saw the skies, but this was Friday night. Some of you actually took pictures of this. Absolutely gorgeous. That was over Lake Oconee. And you can look at that and be like, man, that declares the glory of God. Just look at creation and you get away, you get to the ocean, you get to the mountains, you see, you step out on your back porch, you look at the birds that are in the feeders, and you look at all the things that creation screams out to the glory of God, and it speaks a message to the glory and splendor of the creation and God's hands all over it. I think that believers should be able to appreciate creation more than anybody. Why? Because we know the one who created it. We know the one who made it. So we should look at it with a different sense of awe and marvel. God's display of himself in creation is this general revelation. But then there is special revelation, which is the word of God. The same psalm talks about the law of the Lord is perfect. It says that the testimonies of the Lord are sure. And it segues beginning in verse 7 of Psalm 19. It talks about the benefits of the Bible, the benefits of the scriptures, of the written special revelation from God, that his testimonies are sure, they're perfect, they're righteous, they're clean, they are true. So he speaks both of this general revelation in creation and the specific revelation revealed through the word. Verse 11, back in the text, it says, then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing. So now God is speaking to Samuel directly. He says, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. That's kind of a way of saying, when he says the two ears, it's kind of a symbolic way of going, like, it is extremely important information to where their ears tingle. You've got to be alert. You've got to pay attention. So what God is saying
is what I'm getting ready to declare through you, it's going to have the attention of everybody, of the entire nation. He says, on that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end, and I declare to him that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Can you imagine that being the first thing that God speaks to you? Is I'm about to destroy Eli's house. See, with Eli, he allowed his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, to bring this disgrace and this dishonor upon the temple of God. Of course, we know the scriptures tell us they were blaspheming God. They were misusing the sacraments. They were having these inappropriate relations with women inside the temple. They were abusing their position, and God says, enough. Enough. I'm about to put an end to all of this foolishness. And I'm going to have to do it because, Eli, you won't. You won't restrain your sons. So this is the word of the Lord. Charles Spurgeon, he said this. He said, a man's repentance should be as notorious as his sin. His repentance should be as notorious as his sin. And that was absent under the leadership of Eli. The Bible says once Samuel hears this in verse 15, he lay until morning. It doesn't tell us that he went back to sleep. He just laid there until morning going, oh my goodness, what did I just hear? Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. I bet he was. In verse 16, but Eli, he called Samuel and said, hey, Samuel, hey, son. He said, here I am. And Eli said, hey, what was it that God told you last night? Because I know he was speaking to you, and he's not speaking to me. So what did he say to you last night? And he goes, don't hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. That was the response of Eli. So Samuel, he hears from the Lord for the first time, and the message he receives is a difficult one to convey. But he does it in love, and I know there's love there because he sat there and it bothered him. It made him fearful that he had to explain this to Eli, but he explains it in love. He does it in love, and the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:15 to speak the truth in love. That is our responsibility as believers in Christ. It also says in Galatians 6, if someone that you know in the body of Christ is overtaken in any fault, you who are spiritual should restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So when you have to confront someone, or God has spoken specifically on a thing, you've got to do it in humility. You've got to do it in love. So anybody can come up to you and say, well, hey, I've got a message from God for you. And you say, well, what is it? And they go, you need to turn or burn. God bless you. That's not something that I want to hear. That's not something that is done in love or in humility. Anybody can do that. But see, Eli here, he heard the message and he said, it is from God. Let him do what seems good to him. Eli knew that he was in sin. Eli knew that God had spoken to Samuel. And it could not be rejected. In verse 19, as Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba, that's basically saying from top to bottom. That's like saying from Maine to California, from Canada to Mexico. All over the place, they knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. As we close this morning, when I look at this verse, when I look at verse 20, and it says that Samuel, he grew. And the Lord was with him. And he let none of his words fall to the ground. Like, that's my prayer. That's my prayer for myself. That's my prayer for you, that you would grow, that you would be able to hear the voice of God. If he speaks to you directly, when he speaks to you through his word, and that none of your words fall to the ground. The Bible says that everybody knew because Samuel was established, because he let God speak to him. They knew that he was a prophet to the nations. So God came not just to speak to Samuel, but to speak through Samuel. We have to realize that within our Christian walk with Jesus, it's not just us get all we can all we can, and sit on that can and don't let anybody near that can. That's not what it is. We are ministered to be ministered through. God brings his word to Samuel for the sake of others. But Samuel had to receive it first for himself. He called Samuel not just to be a receiver of the word, but to be a transmitter of the word. When you look at this entire pericope of Samuel and his life in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, there's a lot of things that God did through him. A lot of things. See that Samuel is given the responsibility here to judge Israel. Samuel is given the responsibility here to appoint a king for Israel. He appoints Saul. But he's also given the responsibility to remove Saul from his kingship. Samuel, he goes down to the house of Jesse, and Jesse's got these sons, and Samuel's going, no, you ain't the one, you ain't the one, you ain't the one. Do you have any more boys? And Jesse goes, well, I got this little runt. He's down there tending the sheep. And Samuel says, bring him here. Bring him here. And as Samuel is able to hear the voice of God clearly, he goes down, and he hears God say, listen, the Lord sees man not as he is, but God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the outward appearance. But for Samuel to stand in the face of Israel and call them to repentance and call them back to God, and for Samuel to stand and appoint Saul and then dethrone Saul and bring David into the mix and to be the voice of God to the nations, it all started in 1 Samuel chapter 3, when Samuel had to learn the voice of God for himself. That's where it all started. It all started with this. Here I am, for your servant is listening. Servant is listening. You don't know how God's going to try to get your attention or call you. It could be circumstances of life. It could be through somebody else. It can be things that you think, there's no way this is God. This is too hard. This is too difficult. This makes no sense at all. But through that, can you have the same mentality and heart that Samuel had, to where he says, God, speak, for your servant is listening. I don't get to determine what the message is. I just get to determine what I do with it. And my intent is to listen, to obey. So that when we stand at the end of this life, we're not going to say, God, I wish I didn't miss you on that thing, and I missed you on that thing, and I missed you on that thing. And some of us, for real, we're sitting here now going, yeah, I miss God on a few things. But you're still breathing, which means he's still got plans for you, which means he can still speak to you. And he can still speak through you. So it's not too late. Even if you missed it on things in the past, don't let your past wreck your future. Stand in a position to where you say, God, here your servant is. I'm listening. And you learn how to recognize the voice of God as he speaks to you through the situations of life, and more importantly, as he speaks to you through his word. Listen to the voice of God when he speaks. Obey his voice when he talks to you. There'll never be regret in being obedient to what God tells you to do. Ever. Ever. If you stay with me this morning, I'm thankful when I look back over examples in the Bible of men like Samuel. And it's considered to be one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. My son, Nash, his middle name is Samuel. It just reminds me, as a father, to not be like Eli. to not allow those under my responsibility to just go and do whatever they want and just say, well, it'll be what it'll be. No, to point them in the direction, to teach them how to hear God's voice, to prioritize the voice of God. To say, before you do anything, let your prayer be, here I am, Father, your servant is listening. Whatever it is. And so if you find yourself in a place this morning to where you've struggled to hear the voice of God, I really don't think it's as complicated as we make it. Don't just stand there and wait for the loud, boisterous sound in the wind or in the thunder or in the lightning. Because God has the ability to whisper in a still, small voice. But in however he chooses to speak, let your ears be open. The ears to your heart. Don't be so distracted with life. Don't get so busy. And we like being busy because when we get in the car, we got to cut the radio on. And when we get in the house, we got to cut the TV on. And when we get alone, a little bit of a moment of quietness, we got to get back on the phone. Just get away from that stuff. And watch what God will do. Father, thank you so much for your word this morning, God. Help us to hear your voice clearly today and throughout this week, God, as we go. Jesus, we thank you for your word, God. I pray another prayer over our brother and sister, God, over Josh and Tiffany. Lord Jesus, I pray your comfort upon them, God. Allow this church family to come alongside them to help bring comfort and love, God. We don't have answers. We don't have solutions for why this is the way that it is. It hurts. But God, through that, the scriptures say that you are the God of all comfort. And I just got to hang on to that. I just got to believe that. There's things that I can't reason through, but my trust in you will sustain me, and I pray the same be for them, God. I know they love you, God. They put their lives and trust in you, and you will not leave them nor forsake them in this hard moment of their life, the hardest moment. So Father, strengthen them now, God. Be with your church, Father. If there's anybody here who does not know Jesus, if you've not surrender your heart to the Lord, this is the day, the hour. Do not wait. The next breath is not promised. If that's you this morning, just as a sign of obedience, you just raise your hand so you can see who you are, where you are. Things can change for you today. So, Father, be with your church as we go. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Life Church of Athens weekly sermon podcast. For more information about our church, including service times and ministry opportunities, check out our website at lifechurchofathens.com and follow us on social media at Life Church ATH.